Hey everyone, welcome back. We are here to recap another episode of The Challenge Total Madness. It is episode number 6, I think. I'm really bad at that part of the podcast, but it doesn't matter. I'm here, as always. My name is Matt. As always, here with a well-rested Brian Scally. How you doing?
I am good. I would like to say that this episode literally put me to sleep, but might have been other factors. I am good. It is episode 6, so you were right on that. Mm-hmm. But I would say that it's not really, I don't blame you for forgetting, because there are lots of things about this episode I'd like to forget.
Yeah. I don't expect that we're going to be here for too long today. I feel like this is like a Taron Armstrong classic of, it's going to be a short one today, and then you end up going for like an hour. But there's just, this episode was, you know, I hate to be such a downer, but I have a hard time seeing how I'm much of anything but a downer tonight. Maybe you found something in this episode that can kind of cheer us up a little bit, but I don't know that that's really going to be coming from me.
Yeah, no, it was just like, all right, let's go through one by one and show you how basically every man we've ever cast is just so horrible. And I was like, all right, like, not loving this episode, please, like, keep going. And then the entire second half is a challenge, which, it's, you know, very hit or miss this season for me personally, but we, I don't know, it was ultimately somewhere in the middle on that one for me too.
Yeah, they broke format, obviously, after last week, and they decided that they were going to have the elimination be split up after Rogan, you know, body slams Jay, and next thing you know, we're going to, you know, the episode's over. So it's been a few seasons. I feel like not since War of the Worlds started, or before War of the Worlds started, was the last time that I feel like they did cliffhangers, if I'm remembering correctly, and I don't know what is compelling them to go back to it. There was like a little bit where I thought maybe that extending this season, if that was even a possibility for them, would have been a good idea, because, you know, it's quarantine times, and who knows when they're going to be able to go out and film again. Like, they probably would be out there right now getting ready to film. Obviously that can't be happening at the moment, so maybe they were just trying to extend it. I don't know. Either way, that's not a good idea. If that was ever a good idea, it's not, because we're already into a bad situation here where it's like, this is not the format that we want to stick to. It's just, people complain about this for a reason. When you just don't have any kind of resolution in the episode and you spend 45 minutes on a challenge in a 90 minute episode, it's just, there's absolutely no need. And speaking of Taron, I saw a tweet from Taron earlier today that he was saying the episode from last night was exactly why he had a hard time getting into the show in the first place, because he tried to watch the first time on season 32, I think, and that's when they had cliffhangers and whatnot. So it's like, this is the kind of thing that loses fans, and I'm disappointed to see that they seem to be going back to it.
Yeah, I saw that same tweet and even some others that were just like completely roasting this episode. And I know at the beginning of quarantine, we kind of were like, oh, I don't know, we're gonna get another season. Like, let's maybe, I want the challenge to be on for as many weeks as possible. And after last night, not so confident in that right now. So basically, I think the real deadly combination was when they used to have this format of like, okay, this week, like, it's not going to exactly follow like the challenge elimination structure every single week. We weren't doing 90 minute episodes either. And so a 90 minute episode where we don't have like a regularly structured week was rough.
Yeah, it really was. This episode really did not have much. My notes are pretty weak, just because there wasn't a whole lot to write about. And even the things that did happen, it's like, I really don't have much to say about. So glad everybody's here. They must be so excited to listen to us right now after all that. My challenge to us is, and I thought about this by the end of the episode, while we're going through talking about this episode, by the end of this, I want to see if we can come up with three names. It's pretty ambitious, but three names, maybe two, of people that we enjoyed on this episode, people that we enjoyed on the show from this episode. So let's see if we can pull that out. I really don't know that it's going to happen, but three names is what I'm looking for from each of us. So, yeah, let's just start at the beginning. It's the end of last week's where, the end of last week's elimination where We didn't really know what was going to happen. Jay was obviously body slammed pretty hard, and it seemed like maybe his arm was broken. Weren't quite sure there. But as we see here, he gets up and he tries to keep going, but ultimately is pulled from the competition as it seems like he might have a concussion. Seems pretty likely at this point. He can't get his thoughts together. He doesn't even know how the elimination works, and they already started playing. So rough way for Jay to go out after two early, you know, impressive victories.
Yeah, it was not fun to watch. And like to have like Rogan gloating over it and everything else, it was like, oh, this is all right. First guy that does not look great this episode, Rogan, number one, write it down. But like when the doctor gets called in, it's like, yeah, I didn't ever hear the word concussion, but they were like, oh, like he has like CT. I was like, CTE, like after one hit, like what's going on? So it's not fun. It's really not fun to watch there.
And I really hate the fact that Rogan gets a win after not even winning a elimination. Like, he hurt this guy so badly. I get that Jay's eliminated, but Rogan did not win this. Like,
Jay disagree. Was,
really? Jay yeah. was for he was forced to pull out of the competition.
This is like, okay, you want to say that like he didn't, like Rogan very clearly was just like running away with every single round they played. It was not close. I know Jay's been like all over social media, like you didn't win, I was disqualified, which like I guess technically, but there was no competition and we saw that, unfortunately.
Well, I saw that it was definitely going in Rogan's direction, and yeah. I haven't seen any of this from Jay. I didn't even know that this was like a thing, but the fact is that, or just basically like, The elimination did not end. There was no conclusion. Jay was eliminated and Rogan stayed in the game because he was not eliminated by being medically taken out of the game. Rogan did not win and complete the game. He just was the only one who did not get pulled from the game.
Yeah, I guess technically. I mean, there's been a lot of DQs in the past that have been like so much more unsatisfying than this, where with like super technicalities, where this was like, all right, yeah, I get that it's a DQ, but he lost in a way that was obvious that he was going to be losing every single... I mean, yeah, I don't know. It does... If Jay had, like, all of his faculties about him at that point, would he have been, like, smart enough to really change up the strategy and, like, try to, you know... Yes, he would have been better, but I just don't think it would have been enough anyway, so I'm less frustrated in how Rogan ultimately gets this win, even though I don't love how he handles, you know, the bragging about getting this win.
Yeah, it's just annoying to me because not just like if it was just like whatever, you want to add an elimination win to your record, go, you know, celebrate, whatever. But it's the fact that like now he has a ticket to the final. It's like you got a ticket to the final just from that, whatever. But so, yeah, as you mentioned, he is going to end up going back to the house and gloating a whole lot. Before we get there, I guess let's just quickly say goodbye to Jay, who made a pretty impressive showing here on the challenge. So much so that TJ was, you know, very confident that we will see you again in the future. And if TJ's saying that, you know, if he has any influence over the casting people, I'm sure they have recognized how much TJ liked Jay. And I do think that we'll see him again. If not this, you know, probably in this very next season. I see no reason why they won't call him back. And I've also, you know, seen him on social media training. So he will be back.
Yeah, I definitely think Jay's going to be back. I think we were right in like previewing the season and in like drafting that Jay was going to be a target early on, but I for one at least did not expect him to make it out of his first elimination. So very impressed that he was able to win two, let alone against CT. Definitely think I really, really, really loved Jay, like all the way from the Survivor preseason. Kind of lost a little bit of that with his ex on the beach. Not that he was like majorly unlikable or anything, I just was like, all right, like maybe this isn't translating to a full-time reality TV career, but back on the challenge, I'm like fully back in. I'm ready to see Jay again. Very happy with what we got.
Yeah, for sure. So I guess let's go over to Rogan talking about Jay as they get back and they're talking about how, you know, he's basically saying that Jay was calling them all cowards. So, you know, he feels good about the way that this ended. And somebody else, I don't remember who else he was talking to on the couch that was like agreeing with him, maybe Wes. And they were just like, yeah. Like he was talking such a big game. He's got such a big mouth. Like, just kind of enjoying the fact that he was gone. You heard Bananas like making fun of the noises that Jay was making when he was like down and out on the ground, which is just nothing, you know, not surprising in the least from Bananas. But like, this is why we're going to have such a hard time finding these three names. Just mm-hmm. every single person that even people like Bananas, where I'm like, oh no, yeah, usually that person is like, I, you know, good TV. They're obviously here for a reason. Like I I came away from this episode so, like, with such a bad taste in my mouth for pretty much everybody on this episode. It's crazy.
Yeah, not great. I mean, look, do I think Rogan is like a textbook coward? Like, maybe not, but like in terms of how he's really been on the show the last, you know, two seasons and one episode that he's been on, I don't think it's an unfair claim. And when you have Rogan and basic, I'm sure every other person in the house just like teaming up on Jay, like, you know, making fun and or like throwing him in every week, like, and just talking shit, basically, like, Jay's gonna talk shit back. So like, you got your win, and you want to say you had one impressive round and then you were competing against someone who literally could not like make basic brain functions, like, you can calm down bragging there, bud.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Rogan is really sucking it up this season. Not in terms of like the game. It seems like he's got himself in a decent position and he's got his Red Skull ready to go to the final, but really, 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 really not making any new fans along the way. So let's stop talking about him because I really don't want to talk about him anymore. We have two storylines that are pretty much running through the house this week, and that's pretty much all we're going to get for the most part. Obviously, we have the Jenna and if she wants to quit line, and then we also have Kayla and Bear. And Kayla and Bear is, you know, a continuation of last week where they finally got together in the house after Kayla was, you know, trying to not be tempted by Bear. Eventually she was. You pick. Which one should we start with?
I think that the Kayla Bear is probably going to be shorter, so you want to start there?
Why not? The Kayla situation starts off where at the beginning of this episode, we're going to see Bananas and Wes very much enjoying the fact that they know what happened. Bear must have told them. So Bananas is like egging him on. They're playing cards and they're like, oh, like you're good at playing cards and like you're not like that's not the only thing that you're getting in this house or some stupid joke like that. And we get a confessional from Nelson saying that Kayla is making the biggest mistake of her life and she doesn't even realize it. And as this episode kind of ramps up, you see that like Kayla and Jen are kind of like battling for like who could be in like the most relationship drama. And then Kayla's trying to like back away from it. In the same, like Jenna's kind of running towards it and Kayla's trying to run away from it, but the entire house is not letting Kayla forget about it. Kayla is like having a hard time because everybody is staring at her.
Yeah, it's not fun. It's like, I don't feel, like Wes said at one point, he's like, I don't feel bad for Kayla. Like, she knew what she was doing. Like, Bear is known for who he is. And, like, you made the decision. And, like, yeah, Kayla's an adult. She can make her own decisions. As I think we've discussed a little bit, like, whether Kayla was, like, super happy at home or not, like, whatever, she made the decision. While I don't feel bad for Kayla, like I would not be the person who was pointing out that I don't feel bad for Kayla and piling on like it seems like every person in the house feels like they want to do right now.
Yeah, so the Bananas and Wes are trying to be funny. I mean, they're probably just bored. And, you know, the fact that they're working together this season, they're just having a grand old time. They decide that they're going to put together this little tribute or whatever you want to call it on Bear's bed. And it's got like, you know, they tape stuff on the wall. They tape pictures all over the place and put roses and their names. And, you know, it's Bear and Kayla. And they're trying to just set up a little thing so that Kayla can come see Bear's bed and see how much he cares about her. Because look at all of this that he left there for her, which obviously Bear was not the one doing this, but that's not the point. And the icing on top of this is that there are pictures put up there of Kayla and her ex-boyfriend, Mikey, who those pictures are like taped to the ceiling. And as Kayla ends up getting called into the room for this, Bear's calling her in and she's like, no, I don't want to be sucked into this. I don't want to be feeding into this. And you guys are annoying. She comes in. She is like, at first she seems like pretty upset, but then she kind of maybe comes around to it. She's like, okay, this is kind of cute, but like also doesn't want to be involved in it. And then she looks up, sees the pictures, and then she's just pissed off.
Yeah. The thing is that I was like, all right, the pictures are going to be really bad, but there still was like the B plus K minus M on the wall. So I was like, that's not great either. Like, I get you can make like a joke of them having like a love nest. And while I think it's probably cruel, especially what she's going through, I don't think it's nearly as bad as, first of all, like the mentioning Mikey and the minus M of all of it. And then obviously the over the top, like, you know, throat slam of like having his pictures on the ceiling was very, very bad.
Yeah, two things here. One, I am very surprised, unless I'm missing something, but I feel like we certainly would have seen it by now, that Mikey has been so quiet about all of this. I think if he had been making a statement or going on like an Instagram live or talking about this in any way, we would have heard about it by now. But I feel like he has been very quiet throughout the entire time since like filming ended. And even till this point that he's like just not made any comments about it, which I don't know, maybe like, cause I think like what we know him as or what we thought we knew him as was like somebody that was kind of always trying to be in the spotlight and get attention on him. So you would think that maybe this was, you know, gonna propel that a little bit, but seems to not be the case. So, I don't know. It's surprising to me. And the other thing just being that there was a line in here while Bananas and Wes were putting everything together. And Bananas is like, oh, Nani, can you go get me some grapes for or whatever? And she makes a comment saying like that she's always his little bitch doing whatever he wants. And I was like, yeah, that's for like a lot for not just this mission. That's for like the whole challenge.
Yeah, like the self-awareness jumped out. Yeah. But like... I don't know. The thing about Mikey P is that I might have him muted on social media. It's someone that like for years now I've just like, all right, I have no interest in knowing anything about this person. But I am surprised. I do feel like it probably would have, you know, come across my timeline or something, or definitely yours, where if he had said something. But maybe he got it all out of the way when they were actually filming, just got back from filming and we were avoiding everything. But yeah, that's surprising because it seems especially like every news outlet is like starved for content. Like some, you know, like people online or some random site would be really like hitting him up. But it's definitely surprising that he would not take that route.
Yeah, I am pretty surprised, especially, you know, knowing that like Bear and Kayla are not working out, or they did not work out in the real world because Kayla is back with, or not back with, Kayla is with Sam from X on the Beach, and you know they've been together for a month or two now. So I don't know, maybe we'll get more on that whole mess like after the season. Maybe things will come out, if anyone even cares. And honestly, at this point, as somebody who even likes Kayla, I don't. Kayla, another person in this episode, you know, somebody that I like for the most part on this show. And I was really annoyed by her the entire episode. Common theme here. She ends up getting into a little bit of an argument with Bear outside. She's annoyed because she's like, I feel like you don't even like me. And he is... trying to defend himself, saying that he wasn't involved in it. And this is where I like Bear as a character on this show. And I was annoyed with him in this episode because I was annoyed on like a person, not a personal level, but I was like, he went through so much effort to get Kayla to hook up with him or just to be with him or whatever the hell his intentions were. And now that like she's getting frustrated with all of this stuff because she put her relationship on the line for him. And now he's just kind of making jokes about it. And I totally get that that's Bear and like it's fully on her for falling for that. But it's still annoying to see that like she dumped her relationship for this guy that's making fun of her.
This is Bear. This will always be Bear. He's never going to get better. I mean, I've gone through, I think maybe it was in the preparation for season 33 when like everyone was debuting and I really like wanted to get as much as I could. New stuff about Bear, but I was like, all right, he's absolutely huge in the UK. Let me take a look. And I mean, every single I think every appearance on reality TV he's made, he's cheated. So like, or, you know, been involved in some type of cheating. So this doesn't surprise me at all. I just don't think that any relationship for, you know, years to come, he, and, you know, far be it for me to psychoanalyze Bear, you know, like armchair psychologist or whatever, but I don't see anything coming of it, especially on reality TV. I think he always knows that he's looking to like make the bigger paycheck next season, get called back 100%, secure his bag for what, if this isn't the challenge, like if the challenge isn't going to happen for him, then he'll get on another show and he'll get paid more money for that contract. So I don't think he cares about basically anyone that he's dealing with, whether it be a hookup, a relationship, a friendship, or whatever. Like he's fine moving on. I don't see any connection for him whatsoever.
This was like the first episode in my time watching Bear on the Challenge where I was like, honestly, if he doesn't come back next season, I think I'd be okay. And I don't know if I'm going to hold that opinion for, you know, forever or, you know, for the foreseeable future. It was just like, that was literally the first time watching this episode that I was like, you know what, if we got a break from Bear, I think I'd be okay. Which surprised me, but hey, it's what I was thinking. Should we talk about Zach and, or stupid Zach and Jenna? Stupid Jenna, stupid Zach.
Yeah, here we go.
What even? What's the point? This is getting so tiring to talk about these two and their relationship drama. And this guy is not even on the season, and it's becoming it's an entire episode story. We see at the beginning that Jenna has been trying to call Zach. They were on the phone last episode, but this episode he's not calling her back right now. And eventually, she has to get on the phone with her friend from home named Nicole, who fills her in on everything that happened here. And Jenna starts going into a meltdown, because she's going to have to leave the house so that she can go back home and make up with Zach, who is being a big baby about something stupid.
Yep. At first, I was like staring at Nicole, like, do we know her? Like, what season was she on? Like, I don't know. I just always expect at the time, like, they're going to bring someone onto the show. Like, they're like, you got to call someone that, like, has been on so that we can subtitle it. But I don't want to, like, make this about like, oh, redempt, but I have been hating Zach for years, and finally, like, it's like, oh, again, like, he's not on the show and he's still making me miserable. So like, he's just been absolutely terrible since he has been on his Real World season. He continues to like prove it and prove it and prove it. Last season, I feel like a lot of people liked him just because he was like the last remaining person on Team US that was against like that whole alliance. And like, don't forget who you're like loving all of a sudden, who has, you know, 10 years of history of just being absolutely horrible to every single person he deals with. And we see it again.
Yeah, and it just makes me so sad because I like Jenna. I know that she's not the most exciting television person. I know that she's, you know, a lot of people are totally over her being cast in the show. She doesn't, you know, when's the last time that she provided anything super meaningful to the show? I couldn't really answer that for you. But at the end of the day, she's a nice girl. She is, you know, she's never done anything on the show that has been like, you know, something that's made me annoyed. Like the worst thing she is boring. And, you know, I'll take that over some people who have done some terrible stuff on the show. So I feel so bad for her to see her like in this relationship where she's obviously, you know, this kind of drama is happening. Zach is an asshole. And I know Jenna was having a hard time this week, obviously on social media, that everybody, as you can imagine, was tweeting to her their opinions, which surely she did not care about. I'm pretty sure that what happened after they got home, whenever she got home, they made up and they were fine. And as of now, things are fine. They got engaged a couple months ago, so obviously things are fine. But, you know, people are still going to send in their opinions anyway. So, you know what? Like, it's hard for me to say. It's like, whatever. If he's making you happy 99% of the time, then fine, go for it. But, like, it's frustrating because obviously we're seeing the whatever percentage of the time that Zach is being a total dick. And it's like, this is not just going to be a one-time occurrence. And, you know, it's like, you don't want to be one of those people tweeting at Jenna and being like, leave him. But like, you kind of also do and want to be like, just get the hell out of here already.
Yeah. It's never like gonna be my position to insert myself and tell her what to do. But, and like, it, I don't know. You said like people have been overseeing Jenna, and I know I've voiced that. And this episode, like, it doesn't make me dislike Jenna for sure. It doesn't make me feel anything like in terms of, you know, bad feelings, but it's just like, this is what's going to happen every single season that she comes on. And then we're going to get Zach for the other half of the seasons, and he's still going to be miserable, but he'll be on the show and she's never going to make him come home. So it's just like, I don't want to see either of them back while they're together. It's just like, they're not fun both on the show. They're not fun when either one of them is on the show. And I want so, so, so badly for her not to be with him and to get out of it. But it just is proving that that's not likely going to happen. And it sucks.
Yeah, Zach eventually answers the call that, you know, Jenna finally got a hold of him. And apparently he's upset because of like Instagram DMs. And I guess like 2 years ago, Jenna potentially messaged somebody, potentially cheated on him, which she's insisting that she did not. And I believe her. I mean, as soon as this call ended, she ran over to Nani and Anissa and Kayla, and she was like, I really did not cheat on him. I never would. And I know that she's on camera, but I'm also like, if she's talking to her best girlfriends right now and saying like nothing happened, I believe her. Who's to know what he read? Who's to know what she's talking about, what he's talking about? We're not reading the DMs right in front of us. It's annoying that this is hit like 2 years ago. And when does it have to come up now again on a season where Zach's not even involved? But of course, he has to find a way to make himself involved in this season. It's really annoying. Jenna is obviously going to come away from this with the takeaway that she needs to go home. She needs to leave. She can't focus. She needs to get out of here. Nani is doing her best to insist that she stays. And, you know, at a certain point, you're like, is Nani doing this because she needs Jenna as a number, or is she doing this because Jenna's a good friend? I think it's a little bit of both. But by the time this episode ends, when we see, you know, that the tribunal is going to end up being Jordan, Nani, and Jenna, and Nani's like, you know what, if Jenna goes in and she goes home, then she goes home and she can go deal with Zach. So, you know, not the end of the world. So I think Nani also by the end of this was just fed up and like, I've had enough of hearing about this.
Yeah, I don't think it's like getting fed up so much as like, she said, like, she's like, oh, like, I love Zach, but like, he's not gonna make him happy. Like, Jenna's always going to do whatever she has to make him happy. And after like years of patterns of that behavior, like, you have to decide, am I going to walk away from this friendship because I can't be around it? Which sucks, because you don't want to do that when, I mean, let's say, I don't know if you want to say like allegedly or whatever, but Zach is like emotionally, verbally abusive with Jenna for like years and years and years. And Nani can either choose to like stay by and be her friend and, you know, be there for her when it's good and be there for her to cry to when it's bad. But like, she's not going to change Jenna's mind. She's tried in the past, I'm sure, but it's just like, if you're going to go, you're going to go. I tried, but I can't do anything anymore.
Yep. I don't know. It's just like Hoodie's point from last week about let's get these older people that are not really bringing much to the show anymore out of here is like being proved pretty true. You know, this week and going forward, it just feels like, you know, we're seeing the same Jenna and Zach drama that we've been seeing for how many years now. It's like, all right, there's got to be other people out there with stories and relationship drama that I actually care about. At this point, I'm just sick of it. I'm sick of it. So I don't even know. Is there anything else to talk about from either of those two? We get a little bit from Jordan talking about how if he was in this position that Jenna's in, he would stay with Tori right there. He's like, if she really loved me, then we would work this out when I get home. I'm like, oh yeah, thank God Jordan and Tori are here as like the relationship experts. Mm-hmm. Like, they got engaged and now they're, you know, they have all the answers. But I mean, yeah,
I got some more. It's like, okay, so like you flagged up with Jordan and Tori. Tori is like, if Jordan like needed me to come home, like, I would come home. And like, to hear her basically saying to Jenna, like, go back to your man who sucks aggressively, as the man that she is with who sucks aggressively is watching over her, and her being like, I would go home for him in a minute, and he's like, I wouldn't go home. Like, she gets over it or she doesn't, which I think is probably like, it's the advice that I would want to give Jenna at this point, because like, she says, oh, like, people are saying Zach will get over it, and like, they don't know Zach, he won't get over it. And guess what? I agree, Zach's not gonna get over it, but he's gonna do this next time and next time and next time and next time, and he's never gonna get over it, and like, you're gonna be in this cycle forever. And hopefully off camera and at home they're stable and he doesn't treat her like this and whatever, but it's been such a pattern for how many years where he's the one on Tinder and like in whatever country, and instead of having a conversation about it, he blows up and, how dare you accuse me, like, it's your fault, this is why like everything happens. And then he goes through her DMs. It's like, now this is your fault too. And it's like, it's always Jenna's fault. Zach's never wrong. He always blows up. And like, yeah, he's not going to get over it, but like, you should probably just at some point walk away from it. And like, it's hard to know like their exact dynamics out of the show, like I said, but I don't see it being any different.
Nope, not at all. They, like I said, they seem to be okay now. They got engaged after the show, or I don't know how long after the show it was, but it's, I think, since filming ended. Yeah, it was like recent. So they seem to be okay. And Jenna tweeted out, or I think it was on Twitter a couple different times saying that, like, we are fine now. It's uncomfortable to watch back, but it's, you know, it's something that happened and we're okay. But obviously, like I said a couple times, that fans keep reaching out to her to make sure that they know how much Zach sucks. So I wouldn't be surprised if she, you know, is on a Twitter. I think she said she was taking a Twitter break. I don't know if that means she was deleting it or whatever.
That makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, tis the season of reality stars taking a break from Twitter, which who could blame them? For some of them, not all of them. But yeah, the only other thing that we see at the house besides the challenge in this episode is a little bit of alliance building or alliance confirming from Wes, Bailey, and Swaggy. Apparently, there's a Kansas City, Missouri alliance that we did not know about, or at least I didn't know about. Wes is trying to get them to target Tori and Jordan, and he's talking about how they can't be trusted, and Bailey's aware of this. Wes is being all cocky here. He's like, I make deals with all the rookies. How hard is it to put this together? It's like, dude, do you want people to know or do you not want people to know? Shut up.
Like, maybe don't be like, this is my MO. I use people every season. Like, I don't feel like Bailey and Swaggy were necessarily watching the show for years. Maybe, I could be wrong, but I don't feel like they did their homework necessarily. So you might not want to advertise that. I do think that going with Wes is probably the better move for those two. I don't think, like we flagged up, Jordan and Tori like want everyone to be their number ones and aren't really super committal on which way they're going to go. So I get that they have like the couple like connection, but otherwise I think Tori and Jordan would throw them in a second. And not to say that Wes would not backstab them, but I just think he has fewer people in the house at this point.
Yeah. It's like, not that it's one Wes every season or anything by any means, but like the formula does kind of work for him. It's like he needs numbers that are easy to control, and that's what the rookies are, and the rookies need a veteran person to take them in and, you know, kind of keep them safe for as long as possible. So it does work, and it's not like this is a game that everybody's willing to play all the time. You see like the Unholy Trinity, Kayla and that group, like they're just kind of clicking with each other. They don't seemingly try to take in new people to be under their wing. Ashley was trying to do that this season with Big T, but it's like, if you can get rookies on your side, that's usually a good way to go. But apparently, you know, this bond was already solidified because of the Kansas City, Missouri thing. So this is a group, I guess, to watch out for as we go forward. You know, maybe if the West Bananas dynamic ever does break down, maybe we'll see Bailey and Swaggy obviously picking the West side, and who knows how that'll all play out if and when that happens. So, yeah. What else? Anything else from this trio or from anything at the house?
No, I was just going to say, like, yeah, Wes annoyed me this episode, and I have issues with Swaley on the outside, but I mean, I have so many issues with so many of the people on this cast on the outside that like theirs kind of falls somewhere in the middle towards the bottom. So I don't like love these people all the time, but I'm excited to see some other alliance popping up. So definitely keeping an eye on this group.
Yeah, add Wes to the list of people who I usually really enjoy and did not enjoy in this episode. It's just like, this could be a contender for like one of my least favorite episodes of the challenge in a long time. Let's get to the challenge, I guess. Why not, considering it took up half the episode?
Oh my God.
It is insane. And this it was half the episode, and it was like a promotion challenge for a new Fast and the Furious. I don't watch those movies.
Neither do I.
Yeah, so a new movie that is coming out sometime soon, and it was promotion for that, which is essentially just, this is a challenge they do every season by having people hanging off the side of a truck, but this is, you know, we're going to put a label on it. So before we do actually start the challenge, we have TJ lined up, you know, everybody's lined up in front of TJ, and he talks about how he's been hearing some stuff from the bunker and he doesn't like it. He's like, if anybody wants to quit, quit now, head out, or otherwise I don't want to hear it anymore, which I feel like, you know, this happens like once a season or so. But Jenna's going to end up staying.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of the last time that someone actually did just walk away. I guess probably Kaylee in Final Reckoning, but before that it had been, what, since like the Are You the One kids quit on like
Brandon
forever ago. So I never really thought that this was likely, but I do feel like it's kind of good for him to bring up, not in that she's either going to, like, you know, whether it's Jenna or anyone else, they're either going to see like, okay, like this is being talked about so much, like I either have to do it or like shut up and like basically like commit to being here. I'm not sure that it's going to have that same effect with someone who has been on as many seasons and also probably has it so much in their head that they are definitely leaving as Jenna. But I ultimately do like when he does this kind of thing.
Yeah, it was, you know, I think I like it more if it's like anyone other than Jenna, because I just felt so bad for her this episode, the fact that she had to deal with this from Zach. And I felt bad that like all eyes were on her and she just looked very unhappy, uncomfortable being called out by TJ in front of everybody. So I don't know. I wasn't too big of a fan of it happening to her, even if I kind of like this happening in general. And it kind of felt like a call out to Kayla too, because obviously Kayla has been annoyed with everything happening between with Bear. So I don't know. I thought that there was a chance that maybe like, I didn't think she was actually going to quit, but like, I felt like he was targeting the both of them a little bit there.
Yeah, that's fair. I'm sure that it probably had to do somewhat with Kayla. I mean, there's plenty of stuff we don't see. So I could very well believe that there were other people like breaking down or arguing and it just like was not good TV. I did see, I don't know if you saw, there's like a secret scene where Kayla called her parents that was like going around online.
Yes.
Yeah. And it was like, I did like her parents where she was like, guys, like, I screwed up, and they were like, you fought again? She was like, no, like, different, screwed up. And they were like, oh, and her dad was like, oh, you're a bonehead. Like, so it's good to see that, like, she at least had them to lean on, since everyone in the house was kind of being pain in the asses. But I just thought it was, like, a funny scene if people are looking for, you know, some decent content where the episode, for some reason, decided that that was superfluous or whatever.
Kayla's parents might end up being two out of the three names that we pick by the end of this. And they weren't even in the episode.
I was going to say, if they were in the episode, lock them in. But
yeah. I don't know. Maybe Jenna's friend Nicole is a contender. But
it's fair.
We're really limited on options here. So they stay. We get underway with the challenge. They're going to be in pairs. There's one extra girl. So one guy is going to have to go twice, which ends up being Jordan, which turns into a whole big thing, because this entire episode also, we've been hearing, I mean, this entire season, we've been hearing about, we need to get Tori a Red Skull so that Tori can go to the final and get her win. We've been hearing it over and over and over again, and it's getting annoying. And I want her to either get the Red Skull or get the hell out of here already, because I'm sick of hearing about it. So Tori is, you know, the goal is to get her the Red Skull. Jordan has two chances to win this tribunal so that he can have influence over the tribunal and they could potentially get Tori in there. He does end up winning with Nani, not with Bailey. Obviously, we see some controversy as Jordan gets his win with Nani. Obviously, he wants Nani to be the person that's with him because he's closer with her and he has no way, you know, he doesn't know Bailey from a hole in the wall. So Bailey gets very annoyed that she lost the challenge. And that turns into a little bit of a fight. We get a bunch of fights in front of the, you know, the post challenge confession here. We get Bailey versus Jordan. We get Nelson versus Anissa. There might have been one more that I'm forgetting. Pretty controversial challenge. Fessy was annoyed with Jenna.
Yeah, it's just, I actually think that if this challenge was edited down to a normal time, it looked really fun to do. It was like really cool. I don't think it was the most fun to watch visually, especially when you spread that out over 45 minutes and I have to watch this many rounds for, you know, extended periods of time. But I do think there was like a lot of intrigue here. Like, I felt super bad for Josh. Of course, he's the one who like knocks it off immediately. It's like, oh, like he's doing well, but then like old Josh like fumbling around comes out sometimes, so that I felt bad for. I know a lot of people have been flagging up, like, Bailey got like a lot of hate this week, which, like, of all the people to hate, like, really, Bailey is where you're funneling your anger at, because she was like frustrated at the challenge loss. But yeah, you can probably blame, like, it's not like a great move to like let everyone know how frustrated you are. I do kind of believe that Jordan would throw this. I know he says like, oh, I would never throw a challenge, but allegedly he threw challenges last season and never talked to the confessional about it. So I completely believe that he would and not tell the audience, because like, what, he's going to allow Bailey to like insist that Swaggy's in the tribunal where he's going to want Tori in the tribunal? Like, it makes so much more sense for him to have Nani.
Yeah. I don't see any reason why he would want Bailey to be with him in the tribunal. And yeah, I mean, I take no issue with the fact that Bailey got upset. She's a pretty emotional player, as we saw on Big Brother and have seen on this season so far. She plays very emotionally in terms of like I care about me and I care about Swaggy, and I want to just make sure that both of us are safe. If, you know, somebody comes after her, then she's going to go after them. That's just how she plays. If, you know, she felt wronged by Jordan because he didn't give it 100%, so she was upset with him. Whatever. Not the end of the world. I liked the Swaggy D pairing.
Yeah.
Swaggy C, Swaggy D. That worked out. Kyle and Big T, I have no idea what happened with them. Corey and Maddie seemed to do okay, but I guess they didn't finish because only three teams ended up finishing. I guess the only other team that's kind of worth talking about here is Nelson and Anissa, because Anissa got a lot of crap for her performance.
Yeah, I had seen like one tweet who was like, I forget who, someone was like, great episode for Anissa. And I was like, oh, like maybe she gets on the tribunal. Like, I'm all excited for her. And then like to see this is how it was played out. I don't think it was a bad look for Anissa. I don't feel like what, she screwed up one challenge. How many other people knocked off puzzle pieces and whatever else? So, like, she screwed up. Who cares? But, like, Nelson, horrible episode, but it's what I expect out of him, kind of. I guess I do kind of forget sometimes that he blows up like this. I know that, so it was, like, frustrating to watch, especially, like, him just tear her down when she's so obviously, like, upset, and him to be like, you threw the challenge. Like, what sense does that make, Nelson? It makes absolutely no sense. So it was definitely not fun in that regard.
I was looking back through our draft and looking at the order again, and I sat there for a good 10 minutes wondering and trying to get into my own thought process of how I ended up picking Nelson with my first pick. I really, really couldn't tell you why that happened. At the time, I remember thinking, like, I was feeling good about the people who had taken a season or a couple seasons off, the people that were coming back fresh. And people like Nelson, obviously Nelson's got a killer elimination record. And that's something that always stands out to me when I'm going for draft players. You know, if I can get somebody that is usually good at saving themselves in that spot, I'll take them. But like thinking about, like, now that we've seen a couple weeks of this game and we are reminded of how Nelson's social game is so bad, like even people like Anissa, he can't be like civil with and can't get them to like him. Like the fact that Anissa's confessional here where she was like, oh, this is my reaction about working with Nelson, and she was just like pissed off, disgusted, like didn't want anything to do with it. I was like, if you can't even get Anissa on your side, like who do you have in the house that likes you besides Corey? Like not one person.
And Corey is tenuous, it seems like. So yeah. It's not good. Like Nelson is, I understood like why you went for the pick. He kind of was like, you know, upper middle of my board just because he's so good at eliminations, which is like a huge part of it. The problem is that Nelson is going to get himself thrown into way more eliminations than he should be seeing at this point in his challenge career. He's aggressively bad at the social game. Like even when he's like, and I get that they filmed the confessionals after, but he's like, I'm so excited to have Anissa. And Anissa's like, ugh, like, get away from me. It's like, even before he's screaming, like, she's like, I don't care. Like, you see her not, like, celebrating on the truck either. So it is just, like, he is a big, big dummy. And, like, that is true in terms of, like, getting the puzzles done, but also social game, but also, like, every other aspect.
Yeah, if this was Survivor, I think I like to flag this up every once in a while, like edgic thoughts, because it doesn't really happen too often. Nelson is somebody who has come in like very close to the final on a couple different seasons. He has made a final before, but there's been like two seasons or three seasons where he went out right before the final, and obviously Nelson doesn't have a win yet. And there was one point in the challenge where at the end of it, where he and Anissa got on top of the truck and he screamed out loud. He's like, challenge gods, why can't I win a challenge? And like, he meant like an individual daily challenge, but I was like, this also feels like it's included because he still can't win a regular challenge.
Yeah.
So there's the edgic thoughts for the week.
I don't know that he's necessarily going to get so close to the end, but I definitely think that Nelson's downfall is coming at some point. I could see him getting in, and like we've said, he's great at eliminations. He could win a few, but I do not see this being his year whatsoever.
No. No, I'm going to have to agree with you on that end. So what else from this challenge? After Bailey's getting annoyed, Jordan's telling us in confessional, he's like, listen, no one's coming for you, Bailey. You're not on anyone's radar. Chill out and be safe, which is, you know, not a terrible piece of advice if he was saying it to her, because she should be kind of chilling out a little bit, but she, for some reason, wanted more power. The three teams that complete this challenge, Bananas and Melissa, they work together pretty well. Casey and Bear, a surprise, I guess, but not surprised that Casey did well, just surprised that Bear concentrated for more than 2 minutes. And then Jordan and Nani, who end up pulling out the win and pulling Jenna into the tribunal because it's Nani's best friend. But it seemed like this is something I don't think you rewatched this part of the episode. But what the hell was going on at the end here? Jordan, was he annoyed that Jenna got pulled in?
I didn't notice that on the first time, at least. I was definitely questioning the decision. He actually in confessional was like, I'm taking the power away from them. I want Jenna in here so I can convince her to go down. But it's like, no, once she's in there, it's fully not up to you. It's fully up to her. Whereas the entire house could force her into the elimination if she was vulnerable for the vote. But he seemed to think that he had more power in getting her in if she was in the tribunal and he could like convince her that it was a good idea to send herself down there. So,
okay. No, that makes more sense. I thought he was, because I wasn't paying super close attention at this point, but I thought that he was saying that he wanted to be able to put Tori in, so he was annoyed that, he doesn't have pull by having Nani and Jenna both be in there, and, they would make the decision over him. But, yeah, no, I guess that makes sense if he was, trying to get Jenna in from their pick and then let Tori be the house vote that ends up going in. You know, if she volunteers, there's no reason why I think at this point anybody's going to stop her. It's still super early on, and she seems very insistent on getting this Red Skull super early. So I don't know. We'll have to see how this plays out. But of course, we're not going to find out today because we're going on a stupid cliffhanger.
Oh, the cliffhanger so bad. I am curious, though, what the backup is. If Jenna's not down to go in, because I think Jenna is probably middle low in terms of competitors on this season. I don't think she's ever really been back to her old self ever since she hurt her leg on the Champs vs. Stars season. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's probably a good pick for Tori to want to go against, especially when, to be honest, I feel like, I don't know if you want to get into your thoughts on what's going to happen, but I think if Jenna goes in, she's not coming out of that elimination, regardless. I don't know that she would have a great shot either way, but I feel like Jenna recognizes that quitting outright is really not going to be good if she ever wants to come back to the show. And so it's a lot better for her to be like, you know what, I do want to stay here, and then lose in the next elimination and go home.
I don't know. I don't know that I totally see Jenna wanting to go in at this point, because she just made the decision that she was going to stay. So if she was going to quit, could have taken that opportunity from TJ. Yeah. I do feel like Tori is somebody who is likely to get her way in, whether it's by Jordan or whether it's by a house vote. We've just been hearing so much from her saying that she's ready to go in. She wants to go in. She wants to go in. So, it's a women's elimination day. I would have to imagine that she's going to make a valiant effort to get herself in there at this point. And get that skull. But the other person going in, I don't know. If it doesn't end up being Jenna, I could see it being D. Again, D was talking about how she was concerned because Jordan doesn't like her and Jordan's annoyed at her. So maybe, but why would he want to send Tori in against D? So I don't know.
D is not an easy beat necessarily. I don't think she is the very top. I know that she just won the last season and she won an elimination, but I don't think that she is a Jenny or a Maddie who you never want to see yourself down there against necessarily, but or a Tori. But I feel like there are easier names in this house. So I'm really curious, if Jenna does not volunteer, what is Jordan's backup? Are they going to throw down Big T, or what is the option? Because I am curious, is Tori going to be so bold as to just be like, I want to go in, throw me in? Or are they trying to get Big T thrown in the house vote, and then they can throw Tori in as the tribunal? So very curious to see. I did have the thought that maybe the reason why we're seeing this, and here's my edgic thoughts on the episode, is maybe are we seeing the Wes Swaley alliance now because the house is going to vote in Bailey or something like that, and then the tribunal throws in Jenna, either Jenna volunteers or something, and Bailey sticks around. So I did think that was a possibility.
Yeah, the fact that we get that scene included from Wes Bailey and Swaggy talking about how Jordan and Tori can't be trusted, that definitely felt like it could be a clue. If, Jordan finds out that Bailey and Swaggy are working with Wes, who obviously Jordan is not getting along with in this season, then he could turn around and do this. But also, going deeper into the cycle of this all, Jordan's talking about how in confessional, about how nobody's coming for you, Bailey, you're not on anyone's radar. And if that confessional was taped after the elimination, then I doubt it. Unless, you know, he could also have just been, you know, those were his thoughts earlier and then he found out something later. So yeah. I don't really know.
I mean, like I said, he's one to not tell the truth in confessional where, like I said, last season, he 100%, according to everyone else, was throwing like a Team US challenge to UK after for, I don't remember if it was get himself in or what the case was, but I don't put it past him to like have a confessional being like, Bailey, what are you doing? No one's coming for you, only for her to get voted in the house vote. So I also don't know that that was great advice. Like, I feel like Bailey does need to kind of take position because I think that she is like a good enough competitor where the house is not going to vote her in as like an easy person to beat. But also like she does want to get in here because she's not a Jenny where she like can beat anyone in the house, but she's also not a layup. So she needs to like get into one of these eliminations and get her skull before it's like way too hard of an elimination for her later. So I don't know that sitting back is the right move for her here.
Fair enough. I had a little game that I wanted to play since there was so little to talk about that was actually fun in this. Do you have in your notes the teams from this challenge?
I do not.
Okay. Maybe pull that up on the Wikipedia page while I keep talking. I wanted to look at the teams from this challenge and pretend that the season was split today into these new teams where everybody was in a pair. And let's draft new teams because it means absolutely nothing. And I'm curious which teams would go early and which teams would go later.
I thought you were going to ask me who I wanted to quarantine with. So that was where I thought we were going.
We could do that too. I am looking at the board. I think I would pick... Nope, I don't know. Great options here.
I don't have the teams pulled up yet. Maybe
take your time. Speaking of quarantine, have you seen there's like something is going on? People, like, my first thought is that these people have been quarantining pretty poorly. The Kayla, Nani, Marie group, like, they've all been hanging out a lot down in Miami, and you know, I'm sure they're getting a whole lot of messages every time they post pictures together of like, why are you guys hanging out? I think their defense at this point is like they live all alone and they just are hanging out with each other. I don't really know. It seems a little questionable, but also then this week they transitioned from Miami to Kayla and Nani both arrived in Kansas City, Missouri. Speaking of Kansas City. And they're at Wes's house, or maybe not Wes's house. They're somewhere. It's Nani, it's Kayla, it's Devin Walker, it's Wes, it's Dee, it's Nehemiah. If you're a new challenge fan, Nehemiah is from some of the older seasons, as is Devin. If you're a brand new challenge fan, he's from a couple seasons back. It's just a very strange group of people that are all in this one house together. And I feel like people are talking about maybe they're filming something, but what possibly do they need to be filming right now?
That would be interesting. Well, if you could actually send me a screenshot of the teams that you have written down, because I'm not able to find them online. But
oh my goodness!
I know.
How are the Wikipedia page not working or something?
I don't see it on the Wikipedia page.
Go all the way to the bottom. It was there.
The Wikipedia or the Wiki?
Wikipedia.
All right, I'll keep
challenge
looking.
Total madness. Scroll all the way to the bottom. Ish. This is great.
Got it.
There it is.
Got it. There we go.
That's where I pulled it from earlier.
My bad. I saw that. So apparently, I did listen to the D Challenge Mania episode. I think that we're just gonna, you know, flag up that we listen to those every week. But she talked about how they basically, like, if she had not gone home to, she was traveling around the U.S. and she like had found out that like right before quarantine, like if she had come back to Australia, she would have been like had to self-isolate for a number of weeks by herself, and like it would have been really hard. So Wes was like, just come here, you can live like with me or with whoever. And because she was like in LA or Vegas or something where it was gonna be like really difficult to quarantine, so I think she's like living with Nehemiah right now. So that at least makes sense in terms of like she's able to like quarantine like with one other person, two other people, whatever the case may be. I know a couple people have had their quarantine buddies, which like it's not smart if you're hanging out with like this one person, then this one person, then this one person. But if you isolate it to like one other person, like fine. But
There's like a group of them all together that like it seems like something's being filmed here, and I really don't know what, but like they were all like posting stuff today that they were like doing some kind of activity at the house that they're in, and there was like everybody was like all dressed up, like they all looked nice in like nice clothes, like hair done kind of thing. So I was like, I don't know what the hell's going on, why we need to be filming something right now, but whatever. I guess stay tuned on that
end. Because like I don't want to watch anything knowing that like they were filming during quarantine and like breaking all, like I have no interest in this. So even if like it's something good that I would normally watch, like that turns me off so much.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw like even like some guy used like a, I forget what he said, something like not great to Marie on Twitter, and her like comeback was like, you sound like a guy who hasn't been out of like his basement in 2 months. It's like, well, if he was properly socially quarantining, then good. Like, you're not, so like that's not a good insult anymore. Otherwise, maybe.
Yikes. Coming for your girl Marie, one of our biggest fans.
Yeah, that's definitely the case.
Yes. All right, let's draft these stupid teams.
All
right. I haven't sent a update in the group at the moment, but you are currently leading by 1 point in the draft.
So I did not think that was the case.
Yes. Actually, speaking of the draft, like real quick as well, I don't know if I've tweeted an update in a while. Haley has jumped up to like right in contention with everybody else. Remember when she had 0 points?
Yep.
And now this week having Jordan and Jenna and Nani all in the tribunal, with Nani and Jordan having also won the challenge. They dived right up to the top. Bananas, Bear, and Big T had a couple weeks ago where they were all in the tribunal together. So she is like all back in it now. And then like some people on like you and mine and Colin's team, like Maddie, Nelson, Tori, Wes, Kyle, Kayla, Melissa, like Fessy, all these people that haven't won anything yet and are still sitting at a 0 points. So
yeah,
thanks for that, guys.
Don't love that for me. It was vocally against the rule change in the scoring, but here we are. I think, you know, it'll even out. I'm curious to see how it goes by the end of the season. But like you said, those are some big names in terms of both stature on the challenge and also like your expectations for them. So to see them at 0 points is interesting, to say the least.
Yeah. I mean, we're 6 weeks in. How many challenges in? I don't know. It's pretty surprising. But yeah, so you are in the lead, which means that you can decide if you want to go first in this super high stakes draft. We're going to pretend that these are the teams going forward for the challenge. I'll run them down really quick. We have, and we're going to draft both Jordan teams. Jordan and Nani, Jordan and Bailey, Swaggy and D, Kyle and Big T, Josh and Tori, Fessy and Jenna, Corey and Maddie, Nelson and Anissa, Rogan and Jenny, Bananas and Melissa, Bear and Casey, and Wes and Kayla.
All right. I will go second.
All right. So with the first pick overall, I am not letting you take Jenny again, and I'm going to take Rogan and Jenny.
Take
the returning champion Rogan and the girl who has been dominating this season so far, Jenny.
For sure was one of my, you know, top picks, if not number one, was going straight up there. I think that Jenny is just so dominant, and Rogan has proven to be at least competent. So I think that's a pretty solid pick if these were actually pairs.
Maybe we'll actually like keep points of this for like some in some way or another.
Yeah, we'll see about that.
So you're up with 2 and 3.
I think I am going to go with... Yeah, I lost Jordan in the real draft. I'm taking Jordan and Bailey here. I think that Bailey has proven to be pretty solid, and if Jordan is not throwing comps, I think that they have a really good shot. Like I've always said, it's hard to bet against Jordan at this point in his career. Maybe that'll change in a couple years, but as of right now, I am not betting against him unless he is paired with Nani, so I will not be taking him next. I am going to go with... You know what? I did not think I would be taking him this high, but give me Bear and Casey, because I do have faith in her and think that he is probably a little underrated.
Yeah. I saw Casey there and I was like, you know what? She's been killing it this season. Definitely was considering her pretty soon. I love that. I am like, we're both taking this as seriously as if this meant anything. Up next, I think I gotta go Corey and Maddie. Corey has just been playing pretty well this season and under the radar, and kind of I still think that he can kind of like pull out a win if he needs to. And Maddie, while she, you know, had a rough week when she was fighting with Ashley, she's still one of like the tallest, biggest girls in the house. And I think that I have faith in her when it comes to like an elimination or maybe pulling out a challenge win along the way. So I'm gonna go with Corey and Maddie, and then that would put me up again, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have a little worry about that team in a final, but I did eye them up as someone who would be very intimidating in a elimination scenario.
That's fair. I'm looking at a couple different teams here for my next pick. I think I might be, I don't know if this is surprising, I think I would go Josh and Tori next.
Ooh, I mean, Tori is great, and I know that even like some of the challenge cast members have flagged up that like Josh has massively improved, and while I agree, I do not know that I am ready to put him this high on the list.
Yeah, it's mostly for Tori, but it's also the fact that like Josh does not give up in this game. He doesn't ever stop fighting. He goes hard in every single physical challenge. Like I'm definitely worried for him when it comes to an elimination. I don't think he's won one yet in his challenge career, but I don't know. I feel like the other two teams that I was looking at felt like 100% good about one person and then not great about the other. And this one, I feel like 75, 50-ish. I don't know.
Yeah, so. I think that's fair. I think probably one of those teams that you're looking at that I am going to take off the board, which I would not have taken so high, but I will take Jordan and Nani, because like I said, Jordan tough to bet against. Nani, while I am not the biggest believer in her in terms of winning ability, I do think that she is decent enough where she would be an okay pick here. And then give me, you know what? I'm going to take Bananas and Melissa partially just for fun. I am impressed with what she's doing. I mean, everyone's like making a very big deal out of, oh my God, can you believe Melissa's doing this when she's pregnant? It's like, I don't even think she's 3 months pregnant. So I mean, far be it from me to understand, I have like basic understanding, but I don't feel like your body changes that much in the first 3 months of pregnancy. So I think she's okay. But yeah, I don't know that I have the most faith in Bananas, but they seem like a, you know, solid team overall.
Yeah. I was definitely considering them, and since they are taken, I'm now going to take Wes and Kayla. Wes is, you know, still Wes no matter what. So Wes, even if Kayla's kind of not got her head in the game at the moment, I feel good about Wes. And then after that, we have the teams remaining: Swaggy and D, Kyle and Big T, Fessy and Jenna, Nelson and Anissa. I might take the other person who really doesn't have their head in the game, but Fessy has been pretty physically dominant to this point, so I'm gonna go with Fessy and Jenna.
Would have been my next pick. Yeah, I like them both. I think that if you're drafting who you're quarantining with, might be up high on the board, where I don't know that you could have many intellectually stimulating conversations with Fessy and Jenna, so that might actually take them out of contention for me, but both likable. I don't see any real problems with that team. I think if their heads are in the game, probably a good pick there. Would have been the next on my board. Let me see. So I have two picks left out of Swaggy and D, Kyle and Big T, and Nelson and Anissa. I am going to, let me just get it out of the way. I am taking Swaggy and D and Kyle and Big T, because I think Swaggy and D are both decent enough, D being probably having more faith than Swaggy, and I like Kyle and Big T, so I'm taking them.
And leaving me with a Nelson and Anissa team that's already blowing up in the first challenge that they have together here. So that was fun. that was totally useless, but I love a good draft, and you love a good draft. And
that is true.
That was definitely the most fun we had in the entire podcast here, because the entire episode sucked for the rest of it. So we'll see if those teams mean a single thing at any point. Maybe they'll get back together, but fun little exercise.
Yeah, well, there. I'll take a screenshot. I wrote down who took who, so we're good.
Yes, there we go. All right, anything else about this episode before we get out of here and pray for a better episode next week?
No, I am, like I said, I think that I do think, I know that you said like, oh, Jenna had the opportunity to quit, so you don't see her quitting. I definitely do see that still being on the table, and her just like not being, or thinking she's not being as obvious about it, and like letting herself lose that elimination like she did too. Like, I could very well see like her, if she had not gone to the tribunal, I really saw an opportunity for, like, if she had decided to leave, for her to go down, be like asked to be voted in, let like Nani throw herself in, and then, oh, Nani has her red skull. Like, if Jenna's leaving anyway, like, give the red skull to Nani or Kayla. But the fact that she is now in the tribunal, I think that that's a little less likely, but I still think it's on the table.
Yeah, I am just so over the entire Jenna thing. So I would honestly at this point like to see her go home. I would not mind if she went in and ended up going home because of it. But I also, like, I don't know, maybe I want her to stay in the house because it's, I'm like, maybe there's a better chance of them breaking up, as I said an hour ago, that they're engaged now. So forget that. it's late. I'm tired. We can't leave yet. I started a game in the beginning of this podcast where I said we have to pick three people that we enjoyed in this episode. We haven't done that yet. Come on, let's do it. Three That's people so that are on this cast.
Hard.
There's like we just had 12 teams, so there's 24 people minus two. There's only one Jordan, so 23 people left in the game. If I'm counting that right, and three or two.
Okay. See, my usual answers of Kyle and Big T, which would also, for the record, be my answer of the team that I am quarantining with, would be the normal two, but they got, I think, zero screen time this entire week. I kind of forgot Kyle was on the show for the week, which is not a good sign. If you're making me pick, I think I'm going to go with people who are very frustrated to be losing this week, but give me Bailey and Anissa. I think we're probably the two people that, I don't know that I enjoyed Anissa that as much as I felt bad, and also like, oh, she made some good faces. So I think that's probably going to get you the win in an episode like this.
Was that two names or three?
I said Bailey and Anissa. I do not have a third yet. I'm seeing if you got any for you, personally.
I was going the same direction with Anissa. I felt bad for her that she had to deal with Nelson, and she's always a good narrator. That's something that I, you know, enjoy when she gets to talk about things like that. So I was going to say Anissa. Bailey is makes sense as a pick, but I was also going to go Nani, actually.
That was
Nani did nothing too bad in this episode. She was the only one that was like as annoyed as we were about everything happening with Jenna and Zach. So Nani gets a point there. And it's Jay.
I was about to say he took the last two. I was going to say Jay. If am I allowed to pick Jay and then Nani? Well, I don't think she was like, you know, a superstar this episode where I like need to have her back next season. I do think that she was like a good friend to Jenna in saying like, oh, like, you know, this is how it is, while also being like, she's like, oh, I love Zach, but so she was pretty good there. And also you had Anissa being like being blunt and honest, and she's like, I'm friends with Jenna, Zach treats her like shit for years, so like that she is actually willing to say it.
Yeah, that was tough. A tough little mini challenge for us here to pull together three names each, but Jay, luckily we're gonna count Jay because he was on this episode, so Jay's an easy one there. And then I guess Anissa and Nani for me, Bailey and Anissa for you, I think is what your final answer was.
Yeah, that's fair. Nani, you know, those four you can interchange. If you want to say right, three people still in, take out Jay, throw in Nani.
Fair enough. So that's that episode. Hope you at least enjoyed, you know, listening to us complain about it for an hour, even if you didn't enjoy the episode itself. Between now and next week, if you haven't checked out yet, I have a new Glee podcast that hopefully you are listening to if you are a Glee fan. I don't know what the crossover is of Challenge MTV, the Challenge fans and Glee fans, but hopefully it's enough that some of you guys are checking that out. Or if you know anybody that was a Glee fan, tell them to check it out. It's been a lot of fun. It's the Choir Room podcast. You can catch it on any of your usual podcast listening apps, and follow us on Twitter if you want to, at Choir Room Pod. Having a lot of fun with Amon recapping Glee episodes. Personal Twitter, of course, at Matt Liguori. So anything else that's going on there, final power rankings for Survivor is coming up pretty soon, in a couple days, so check that out. And Scally, anything special besides the Twitter plug here?
No, I would just encourage people, like you said, go listen to the Choir Room pod in a time where I am not getting all of my regular podcast listening in. I have somehow managed to squeeze in over 20 episodes of the Choir Room pod and have been very much enjoying it. So highly recommend, even if you didn't watch Glee, you have time in quarantine, go watch a couple episodes. You'll be fine. Very enjoyable, both from you and Amon. So otherwise, just on Twitter, @Brian_Scally. So find everything there.
Yes, thank you. Thank you for the endorsement. It has been a lot of fun, and we've been cranking out the episode. So check that out if you are so interested. And otherwise, we will see you guys next week with, like I said, hopefully a fun episode of The Challenge that we probably won't even be watching until like 2 days later, because it's Survivor finale week, and that's going to take some priority on Wednesday night. So we'll get it up eventually and catch you guys then. So take care.